really happening with the organ harvesting. And this is back in 2013. So Lindsay, you pull up this article, if you don't mind. I mean, we don't have to show the photos just yet, but at least pull up the article so people can see it. And this is all in Chinese, but it's translated. It's on this website, China Jasmine Action Tribe. And this is like a kind of like a group that's against the CCP. And they're just trying to expose what's been going on. So he wrote this article, and it turns out that this guy named Liu Gong, he was arrested during the Tiananmen Square massacre, and he was in a forced labor camp in 1989 to like 1992. And he also talked about how leading up to the Tiananmen Square massacre, like in the early 80s, the locals in his town, he's like, it would be like imagine like a spring festival where everyone would go or a carnival, but instead of like rides and people speaking, you're seeing a public beheaded or a public shooting of people that are basically speaking out against the party, like the Tiananmen Square massacre stuff. And he's like, everyone would attend these, like it was like a social gathering and people would get murdered there. And you just get used to it. But so eventually, you know, the whole thing started happening with the Tiananmen Square. He got arrested, and he actually told a story about an official that he met in prison who explained that he had a kidney transplant from some kind of rapist that was in prison. And he said that his sexual function was super strong, stronger than his party spirit, because he had the raper's kidney in his pocket.
Yeah. So nasty. Yeah.
So weird. So weird. But he said, you know, and this is again in the early 90s, that people would physically try to hurt themselves in order to get medical care, and then they would actually be able to leave the forced labor camp. So he told a story that one guy drank toilet bowl cleaner, burn his esophagus, but he drank too much of it, and he was able to go home, but they did a transplant with a dog's esophagus. I didn't even know that was possible. Anyway, super weird stuff.
But
basically he's talking about how if people are rich, if they're arrested and they're like rich prisoners in there, they can usually use their money and connections to go home early and things like that. But he said one time there were this really poor prisoner who was there. He didn't have any money, didn't have any other way to get out, didn't know anybody. And his name was Lau. And the guy was in his early 40s, but for some reason he noticed that this guy didn't have to do any work. The guards always gave him really good food and drinks, and they really took care of him. So he was kind of surprised about this. It's like, why of all of us, like, you know, what's so unique about this guy? Then one day, all of a sudden, he was taken away in an ambulance, and then he never came back. So the guy wasn't sick, and he knew that, and he knew him really well. So he started asking people, and he asked some of the guards that he knew, and they basically just told him that, he was sick and he's okay. Now he's released somewhere, you know. But then one of the other prisoners started telling him about something deeper. And then what they said, they're like, we're all being pigs for a slaughter. And so he said, not every prisoner is lucky enough to become such a pig. It depends on whether you have the conditions, whether your body is healthy enough, and whether you have the blood type that matches. So what he realized is that the ones that they were keeping were healthy, and they were focusing on the people that were healthy, because he started realizing that they were being used for organ harvesting. So, and this is back in the 90s. So he actually he secretly wrote a letter to all of the world leaders at the time, including Bill Clinton, but they were found before he could send him out. And then, of course, that he was sentenced to like more years in prison and everything else. But, and then once word started going around and all the prisoners started figuring out what was happening, they forced everyone to sign contracts to be part of an organ donation system. And if you didn't sign it, you would get beaten or tortured. So everybody in there was forced to sign it at that point. So that's how, that's basically like from his understanding when organ harvesting really started and how they started using, like really utilizing it until like the persecution of Falun Gong. And he actually gets into that too with Falun Gong, because he said that he believed he was one of the first people to really report on organ harvesting. And so then he knew when they were arresting the Falun Gong practitioners, he knew that this was going to happen to them and that it was going to be more on a massive scale, which is exactly what happened. So, but there are some, he actually took photos of some of what he witnessed. And there are dead bodies. And they're basically, there are these doctors around these dead bodies that they've collected. Yeah, this one's not as bad as the other one, Lindsay. I think we can show this one. We probably don't want to show the other one. She's pulling it up. So yeah, these are, you know, we don't really know exactly who the victims are in this, but they are prisoners of conscience. You know, we can say that at least, and that they were, they did have their organs removed. The other one shows a naked man and his face is just all bloodied. And it looks like they took his eyes out. And that's what I would say.
For cornea. They do cornea transplants.
Mm-hmm. And there's like more dead bodies in that one. But in this one, they have bags over their heads. So I'm not sure what they were doing there. But yeah, it's really crazy. But
have you guys seen The Laundromat, the movie?
I heard about that.
Meryl Streep. They talked about the persecution and showed the cornea harvesting in that movie. There's like Antonio Banderas and Gary Oldman and Meryl Streep, a lot of stars in that one.
Mm. Yeah, I think we brought that up on the show before, but I've still never seen that before. So pretty wild. Yeah. The Laundromat. I think I was on Netflix for a while. Exploiting the world's financial system. Yeah, and that's
not about that. It's just there. It's about the Panama Papers.
Yeah, and honestly, I feel like a lot of this stuff is all tied together, which you know, and this kind of leads back to because there's a lot of right now, Ukraine is now being called out for doing organ harvesting. And of course they're denying it, and you know, the mainstream media is denying it, but we'll kind of get into that a little bit. Why don't we show, Rob, why don't you tell us about our coffee that we have?
Yeah, sure. So, we have a product called Metaphysical Coffee. So if you're looking for a way to support our work that isn't necessarily a subscription, because you already subscribe, obviously, to us, you can actually buy a bag of Metaphysical Coffee. It's 100% Arabica beans. You know, we basically bag them soon after we get the beans roasted. We can send them out to you relatively quickly, and our bags are totally free shipping. So we get to offer you this coffee for $17.99 a bag with free shipping. And you can either buy one bag, or you can get on, you know, one of our subscription tiers where it'll come every month automatically. You get a 12-ounce bag of Metaphysical Coffee with that subscription, which is great for you because the coffee is really good. It doesn't have a lot of acid in it. It's really smooth coffee. We get a lot of great feedback on it, and we're pretty picky about our coffee ourselves. So we chose good coffee to make for you guys. So yeah, if you like our work and you want to support us in a meaningful way and get something in return, yeah, we've got Metaphysical Coffee. I mean, look how happy Bigfoot is. Bro even has the Rise logo reflecting in his eyes. I mean, this is the real deal. Yeah, anyway, let's watch a trailer, and when we come back, we'll be continuing on this topic.
150 years in the making. The ultimate evil specter. Lies, hatred, and struggle. Traditions destroyed. The deep state's cult, communism.
All right. Yeah, it's one of our best series that we've ever did. And you can find that on Rise TV. And you can also find that on Rumble. It was extremely popular on YouTube when we had it. In fact, that was like at the time, that was one of some of our biggest videos that we ever made on YouTube. And then they got taken down.
Yeah.
But anyway, you can still find them on Rumble or on Rise TV. So, yeah.
People haven't really exposed the whole story of communism, I haven't found. Mm-hmm. And what's special about this series is we go from basically the origins, Karl Marx and Robert Engels, and who Karl Marx really was. And then in the second episode, we actually go back in time and show you where communism came from, mm-hmm. which is all the way back in the late 1700s. You have to go back to the late 1700s. And it's really, really interesting. And if you want to be the smartest guy in the room when it comes to a conversation on communism, I dare say that this series will help you do that.
Yeah. You know, speaking of, I saw a comment come up too about someone asked, you know, like a lot of, there's like, you know, the mainstream media, some of them have called Falun Gong a cult. And some people were like, you know, what's the difference, or, you know, how would you respond to that? And honestly, I think the problem is a lot of people in outside of if you've never been in a cult yourself, or never grew up in kind of like communist country, you probably don't really understand the difference between something that's a cult and not a cult. Now, something that is a cult, there is a very, very strong system in which you belong to that system. Your name is registered and you cannot take your name off no matter what you try to do. Once you belong to that group owns you and you cannot leave. And all cults also force you to pay dues. Like if you think of the Communist Party as itself, they force you to pay dues, right? So one, you have to join them. You have to give like some kind of oath, swear, whatever it is to all of these, you know, like take Scientology as a perfect example, right? It's like, and there's other ones too. Like I know people now that grew up in these cults and it's like, they were not allowed to interact with anybody outside of their cult.
No. And they might get hurt. Like they might come under bodily harm by trying to extricate themselves from that cult.
Yes, that is very true.
And you're not free to go and come. Right.
No. And a lot of the women are sexually abused or, you know, are really looked down. It's very difficult for a lot of women in these like cults. You can't, once you join it, it's like almost impossible to leave. They make it extremely difficult and they'll like really follow your life around. You know, this is why, like, you look at something like Christian, like people are even like Republic, or like, you know, people say like different parties or a cult or whatever, and it's like, well, not really, you know, you can't, like, you can come and go as you please. Like, look at Christianity, right? It's not like you go to church and you put your name down and it's like, okay, you know, you've got to show up, and if you don't show up, we're going to become knocking on your door, you know. And it's like, no, that's not like a real cult would actually do that. So you know, and that's why when they use the term cult, it's like, it's not a cult, because it doesn't fit any kind of definition of what a cult is. You can come and go as you please. There's no roster. There's no, you know, there's no like, and cults have very strict guidelines. You can't do this. You can't do this. You can do this, but you can't do that, you know? So, that's the main difference. And I think people in America that never grew up in a cult don't really understand what the difference is. They're just like, oh yeah, this is some cult. And it's like, no. Cult is like very serious.
Yeah. And so by comparison, like Falun Gong, for instance, you can come if you want, you can leave whenever you want. You don't have to practice. You can practice if you like. It's all up to you whether or not you want to make progress or not. That's just any kind of spiritual belief system where you have freedom to come and go. Automatically, you're not a cult. So anyone calling it a cult, the people that are doing that are clearly trying to attack the spiritual practice so that the Chinese Communist Party has leverage to persecute them. And this is what the Chinese Communist Party has done. They've deemed it a cult so that they can freely go in, according to them, and persecute these people and do whatever they want to them, which is obviously ridiculous. Then there's no money involved at all. Ben already stated that before. There's no dues that you have to pay. Everything is 100% free in that practice. You know, it's just practice and cultivate yourself according to truth, compassion, and tolerance. Right. And for that, they're getting their organs harvested and persecuted since 1999. Yeah. Crazy.
Yeah, that's the thing. You know, I think like if this was truly a cult, there would be no persecution. You know, all the righteous faiths throughout
because history, they would have bowed to the CCP.
Yeah, that's exactly it. You know, all the righteous faiths, religious faiths in history. You know, it's like all the real righteous ones have all been persecuted pretty harshly. So, and it's like if it's not, then okay, what's going on? Like Scientology. Like Scientology is a real cult, but so is the CCP. You know, it's like you have to pay your dues, you have to give your blood oath to the CCP, and you can't quit. You'll come knocking it, and you can't do anything else. You know, and also the same thing with the cult. You know, once you're part of that cult, you can't believe in anything other than what the cult promotes. So,
Again, otherwise you might incur bodily harm of some sort.
Yeah, so true.
Mental or physical.
Right. Yeah. So, anyway, so kind of get like, okay, so I want to kind of come back to what's going on in America. I found some crazy, crazy stories. We don't have to play this one as much. We're kind of, Lindsay, can you play this? So this is wild. This is a mother's final moments with her son. She had his organ donor status from his license removed, but it still remained on the registry, and they are proceeding with this. This is why this is getting wild now. Can you play this, Lindsay?
We're doing this today. They never told us they were doing this today. He has siblings. They're not going to get to say goodbye. They never told us they were doing this today. Never. Never. For money. For money. For money. This is all about money. This is all about money. We're doing a victory walk.
It's an honor walk.
An honor walk. And y'all just notified us 3 hours ago. The family only gets a 3-hour notice. If this was y'all, wouldn't y'all want more than 3-hour notice of this?
Man.
Don't we have the right to more than a 3-hour notice?
It's crazy.
Shame on them.
3 hours.
Give him a hug. Please take time to say goodbye to Avery.
God.
Please. Give him a big hug.
Just please. Avery, they lied to us. They never told us they were doing this. They never. They didn't give us time for emergencies. They didn't give us time to get to the courts or anything. They just told us this 3 hours ago. 3 hours. We've been going back and forth about organs for 3 days. They did not tell us that this time y'all were going to be doing this. Then we got this Dr. Watts.
You want to say
and he just want to.
Anything you want to say?
Whatever. It's horrible. Oh my
All right. God. You can pause it, Lynn, or you can stop it here. Yeah. So I'm finding there's more and more and more of these cases where the patient is not they would consider him brain dead, but there are, because of like when they start taking the organs out, the shock in their system will have them wake up almost like more times than not that happens. And they still continue on with the story. There's more. So a doctor came out on a podcast talking about this too. And this is pretty heavy stuff. We probably don't have to show this, but basically what he's talking about, Lindsay, you can pull it up. We don't really have to show it, I think. But basically what he's talking about are our children who are essentially, you know, he's kind of saying he feels like they're being kidnapped. And they're taking, you know, maybe they're in some kind of state, and then it's like without even determining whether they can revive them or not, it's like they're already making the decision to, okay, we'll just take their organs, you know. So this is happening. And there's a story then I found of an 18-year-old who actually woke up in the middle of doing this. Yeah. This happened in England, and he got hit by a van and suffered severe brain damage. So the hospital declared him brain dead, and hours before they were going to harvest his organs, his sister Jade started noticing that he was breathing on his own. And then all of a sudden he showed signs of life and everything, and they end up canceling the procedure, luckily. And then he started blinking, moving around and everything else. And then his, you know, the whole thing was described as a miracle by his family and the doctors. But there was a Kentucky man that actually was also declared brain dead, but woke up during when the doctors were actually going to harvest his organs. This happened in 2021, and his name was
crazy.
Yeah, he's 36 years old, Kentucky guy.
That's young.
And he had a drug overdose, and so he went into cardiac arrest. And you know, the family just were like trusting the doctors, and so they were bringing him in, getting ready to do the organ harvesting, basically, and they told his family he's brain dead, you know, and so you know, they were like convincing the family that he was going to really help and everything else. And his sister said, you know, who are we to question the medical system? And right when they started the procedure, he started thrashing and moving around and crying. And it led to one of the staff members to become a whistleblower and start talking about this. And so the Kentucky Organ Donor Affiliates got involved, and now there's like they're looking into the practice of this hospital. So and they found 103 cases with similar concerning features as this guy. So that's because crazy. Like I said, they really need the person to still be alive, because they need they need them as fresh as possible when they do a transplant. So it's kind of like, oh, okay, he's considered brain dead. We'll do it now, you know? And the younger, the better, because if it's younger, then it means that the person that they're giving it to is more likely to live a little longer, you know? Whereas like if you get someone older, it's probably not going to be as good, you know? So there's a lot of concerns about young kids specifically being injured and stuff. And I don't want to like bring a cause of alarm for this, like saying this is like a widespread thing or anything. But it's just something to, you know, I definitely think it's something to be a little bit more mindful about, especially if other doctors are kind of coming forward about it. But yeah, and then, you know, so then the other aspect is what's happening in Ukraine. And of course, the mainstream media, all the headlines are like, no, Ukraine is not doing organ harvesting, you know, but there was a former Ukrainian parliament member who came out publicly on a social media platform saying that Ukraine is harvesting organs. And now, to be fair, you know, Zelensky did sign something recently banning the removal of organs from bodies of fallen military personnel for transplantation. But I don't know if that includes ever anybody else. So, Lindsay, yeah, if you want to play a little bit of this.
Собирала детей. Маленьких.
Okay. Yeah. I used to collect children from 3 to 6 years old, and I brought them to this place. They...
И привозила именно вот, вот этот пункт.
They were undressed on the first floor, and on the second floor, they were undressed as unnecessary material and simple. And these guys, you know, they spoke as if they were calling an animal, a pig or a rabbit. Well, yes, they brought it as... If some kind of farm, you know, implantation, you know, they took the organs. I heard about it, but I didn't know what it was. You won't understand until you see it with your own eyes.
Now, okay, you can pause it. So, to be fair, you know, I mean, you know, Ukraine came back and was like, no, this isn't going on. This is like Russian disinformation or something like that. You know, but,
wouldn't that put anything past the Ukraine or Russian state?
I know that that's the only thing. Now, one positive aspect, what I did find was in 2015, there was a workshop held in Ukraine dedicated to talk about China's organ harvesting crimes. So this was all held by the Supreme Council of Ukraine in 2015. So that's when they were revisiting the laws and whatnot of organ transplants and international organ transplants. So, you know, so that's like a very positive thing, but you know, what's happening behind closed doors and what's happening, you know, openly by laws are two different things, as we all know. And we all know that there's a lot of corruption in Ukraine, you know? So could this be happening? Yeah. I mean, it's very possible, because you know, this is the reason why it's massive. I mean, how many people who are, you know, super wealthy pay for an organ, you know, and that's why this is a like one human body is worth like millions of dollars, tens of millions of dollars, just one human body. So you have 100,000 bodies, all worth tens of millions of dollars. I mean, you're talking about a multi-billion, tens of billion to dollar industry, especially when you look at it as a global scale. So, you know, and unfortunately, I think a lot of times too, it's like, you know, and I'm not trying to say anything negative about hospitals or doctors, but I think it's just like you see death so much that it's just like, I mean, it's just like another statistic in some way. It's like, okay, well, this kid's not going to recover from this, so we can just use this body, you know. And I think that's just kind of the mentality, because they're just so used to being around death like that, that it's like, it's not really, unfortunately, I think they just kind of have that mentality, and a lot, like, no, I'm saying not a lot of them or anything, but I just think that is like that. So, you know, and I think that's the sad thing about it. And especially in China, you know, I mean, there are definitely doctors and surgeons coming out now. I mean, they're coming out on full scale, from documentaries to Congress and everything, saying, I was a part of this. This is what I did, you know, but a lot of them are forced to do it. It's like, that's, This is why it's such a moral dilemma for them. It's like, if they don't do it, they lose everything. Because the CCP will like destroy their lives if they don't follow through with what the CCP wants them to do. So that's the saddest part about it, is like a lot of doctors are kind of more under the gun in China being forced to do this. And, you know, and I think that's what makes it very difficult. But you know, I think it's really important because, you know, this is such a heavy topic and it's like a lot of information and people are, you know, it's like, a lot of people out there, you guys are probably thinking like, oh, what can we do about this though? You know? And I think the number one thing is really like learning about the issue. There's a lot of different organizations you can contact too. Internal correlation to in transplant abuse in China, which is a really long thing to say, but it's Doctors Against Forced Organ Harvesting is one of them. So basically this group is trying to get doctors on board and surgeons to be a part more of this group to put pressure on the international organ trade. And share information, you know, share our video, share this information with people, you know, and that's, I think that's the biggest thing. China was doing this out in the open originally all throughout the 2000s. I mean, you could just randomly call a hospital in China and they're promoting it on all of their websites. It's like, oh, need a new heart? Come to China. We'll get you a heart. You know, now they're doing it behind closed doors. They can't do it openly anymore because of all the international pressure. And that's the positive thing, you know, that it's like they didn't completely stop, but it's not as like, you know, it was at the time, it was just like, oh, yeah, you need a new heart. Just go to China and you can get a new heart. You know, now you can't do that. Now there's these laws in place that ban organ tourism in America. So
I think also to understand what's happening on a global scale, the CCP right now they've basically activated all of their sleeper cells to attack Falun Gong. Like, mm-hmm. Xi Jinping's rule is not going to last. He sees I'm just explaining to you what's happening in China right now, mind you. Okay. So like the generals are moving around Xi Jinping and they're taking over control of China, putting a lot of pressure on Xi Jinping. It's pushed Xi Jinping into a corner where now he's willing to do anything that they say in order to maintain power. And one of those things is to persecute Falun Gong, activate all of these sleeper cells, blah, blah, blah. So what you're seeing right now happening across the board is these sleeper cells, they're paying a lot of different podcasters money to attack Falun Gong, to attack media that report truthfully on Falun Gong and on China, which is like the Epoch Times and NTD TV, which we showed you today in our show. The New York Times has been writing hit pieces against Shen Yun, which is mm-hmm. a global performing arts, probably the most beautiful show on the planet right now, who also brings the culture of China back to the Chinese people, and it exposes what's happening in China right now. So you figure it out for yourself. Why is the New York Times attacking this poor defensive group of people who are having their organs harvested in China? Like, what's really going on? I mean, you mm-hmm. probably can kind of put two and two together if you're not brain dead, right? You can write to your government officials about this stuff and tell them that you don't tolerate this, that you think that they should do something about it. You can write to Kash Patel. You can write to the Department of State. You can write to all of these people and tell them that you're aware of it and you don't approve of Chinese infiltration in America. This is our country, not theirs. This is happening all over the country right now. You know, they're screwing with all kinds of things. Anyway, there's so much that you can do. There's no end to it. So if you believe in trying to help end the persecution for these people, you know, just activate yourself a little bit. Even if you did one thing a month, it would be huge, you know?
And Lindsay, you know how to contact your government, your local government officials, right?
Yeah, I actually did that myself. I wanted to help out and contact my local officials, but I didn't know who they were. So you can basically just Google it, and your local government websites will have the contact info right there. You can get phone numbers, email addresses, book appointments to go in person, whatever level you want to do. There's a really easy way to do that. And basically, you know, a lot of people are like, well, what do I say? Basically sharing that it's important to you that they're aware of it and want to support the victims and not allow that kind of evil behavior to come here to America is really important for them to hear from their constituents. So that's why it's important to look up who yours are, because when they hear from you, they know that it's important.
Mm-hmm. Very cool. Yeah, well, I know that you guys, this is a very heavy topic, but again, I think this is really important to expose, and hopefully eventually all of this will stop. I think that once the whole world, or once everything gets like, well, once the persecution ends in China, I think the whole world will understand how evil the CCP really is and what's been going on in China, and it's going to change everything. And I think a lot of these evil practices will stop. So yeah, it's crazy times we are living in, that's for sure. But
absolutely.
Yeah. But thanks for everyone for being here. Thanks for watching the show. Hope it was very informative, at least. Yeah, I think it's, like I said, it's important to do these kinds of shows and, you know, expose the truth about what's happening in the world. But, yeah, so there, Lindsay has the website up, or you congress.gov, where you can find your local Congress members. So good luck if you're in LA or San Francisco though. But you know, that they're probably the ones that need it the most. You know, if you are in LA and San Francisco and New York and all these, you know, those are the big ones.
California has been the most infiltrated by the Chinese Communist Party because their proximity to China, mm-hmm. honestly, that alone.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely agree. So, well, you guys, we're going to jump off here and head over to rise.tv. So once again, you can join us for $12.99 a month and support what we do over on rise.tv, where we have over 1,000 videos of almost every topic you can possibly think of. And at the end of every show, we always do a live Q&A that is exclusively on rise.tv, which we're going to go over right now and get to your questions that you have in our exclusive Rise chat. Also, we have our metaphysical coffee that you can get if you want your mornings to be interstellar. You can go to metaphysicalcoffee.com to get your delicious bag of coffee for $17.99, and we cover the shipping. Or you can get a special monthly package of coffee and a subscription. You can find everything under rise.tv. So, all right, we're going to show a trailer, and then we'll see you guys over on Rise.
Have you ever heard of a crematorium with 50 security guards?
So they would hang you up?
As an American who grew up in a free society, their story was hard for me to take in.
That was basically what they learned. They learned how to do this. They got promoted through the system.
Substantial amount of blood was drawn.
You can't wait for somebody to come and get you for your to stop the practice. By then, it's going to be too late.
And that's exactly what happened. What's next?
America people, so nice. Heart so good. They don't understand the truth.
All the evidence is there. You can see it all on video. Every document is there.
This is very different from the old days when we dealt with the Soviets, because Soviet Union and the Americans, United States were completely separated. Now, the enemies are within.
When disease strikes humanity, when corruption is on the rise, when darkness descends, how can we find the light? Noble governors, honorable caretakers, destructive dictators, Each time a plague hit, the state of the people seemed to determine their fate. What if this were a pattern nobody has ever looked at before? Are people's illnesses tied to their spirits? Does chaos in society reflect chaos in the cosmos? This goes deeper than any history book's look at plagues has ever gone before. Plague Part 2, Divine Retribution. Get your questions ready, because it's time for our live Q&A session, exclusively on Rise.TV.